Begin the current daf Masechtas Beya daf Chav Beis. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had in our Mishnah a machlekes between Beisham and Basil, which was said in regards that Rabbi Gamliel was machmer on these three things like Beishamai. Now the first item was that ain taimin leketchila, one does not initially go ahead and insulate food from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now the Gemara's question was, how do we understand this machlekes between Beisham and Basil that was saying Rabbi Gamliel was stringent like Beishamai? If one left an Erev Tavshilin, then why can someone not go ahead and insulate, which is one of the types of cooking? There's Bishul, Afia, and there's Hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And if there is no Erev Tavshilin, then what would be the opinion of Beis Hillel why you're allowed to go ahead and do Hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos? So the first test the Gemara gave was, actually, it's going, like the understanding would be that there's no Erev Tavshilin. But it's not difficult in Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel goes, as Rav Huna explains, that one can go ahead and do certain preparations for Shabbos, even without Erev Tavshilin, that's Kedei Chayim. The minimum amount, one pot, one piece of bread, one candle, these things are permitted to be done, and that would be the opinion of Beis Hillel. And that would be what was saying, that he's stringent on this, of the first of the three things, like Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara continues and says, another approach. Rava Amar, he says, Lo'ilam Sheniach. Actually, the resolution of this question about how do we understand this machlekes is told me that the person did make an Erev Tavshilin. But then the question is on Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai hold, which Gamliel is going like, that one cannot do Hatmana if you made an Erev Tavshilin? Then you could cook, bake, do Hatmana, whatever is necessary from Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, on that, what Rava says, Beis Shammai Hatmana, Beis Shammai holds that Hatmana, insulating, is different than all other types. The muchacha milsa da daita de Shabbat to covet. That's obvious what you're doing for. Insulating things is that it's keeping it for a long time. Now, why are you doing that on Yom Tov? Baking and cooking, you might be doing it for Shabbos, but you might be doing it for Yom Tov too. It's not obvious. But here that it's obvious, even with an Erev Tavshilin, Beis Shammai would hold, and Gamliel was stringent like that, that one cannot even do that, even with Erev Tavshilin, to do Hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now, Ezra Abaya asks from the following Braisa, on Rava's interpretation of the opinion of Beis Shammai, that's even talking about you cannot do Hatmana with Erev Tavshilin. The Braisa says, Chananya Omer, he understands Beis Shammai Omer, his interpretation of Beis Shammai's opinion is that Ein Oifen, a person cannot bake, Elam Kein Erev Bepas. In other words, you can't bake on Yom Tov or Shabbos, unless if the Erev Tavshilin was an Erev Bepas, you had made with bread. Similarly, Ve'em Avatrali, now I'll cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Elam Kein Erev Betavshilin, unless you made an Erev, in other words, you had already set aside from before Yom Tov, a type of cooked dish. And Ve'em Tainan, similarly, the third type of category of cooking, you cannot do insulating on Yom Tov to Shabbos, Elam Kein Hoyu Lo'icham Etemunin Me'erev Yom Tov, unless you had already insulated food from before Yom Tov, and that is Erev Tavshilin, is that you already started the process from before Yom Tov, you could conclude that process on Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now, so Beis Hillel holds, whatever you cook, whatever you make, you started the process of preparing food, which requires a malacha, and then you can do any other types of cooking on Yom Tov to Shabbos. Chananya holds in Beis Shammai that no, it has to be exactly that type. You have to do Hatmana for Hatmana, Bishul for Bishul, Afiyah for Afiyah. Now, the inference is, and this is a biased question on Rava, is Hahayu Loicham et Mitimunim, but it sounds like, but had one had already prepared insulated food from before Yom Tov, to then do on Yom Tov, you conclude that on Yom Tov is to Shabbos. So Mi'ya Avet, it sounds like, but then you could. It's only because he's saying that you cannot do if you didn't have, but if you had, you could do it. Yet that goes against what Rava had said. Rava said that you can never do, even with Erev Tavshilin, you can't do Hatmana, because it's obvious, blatant. What are you doing it for? Oh, you're praying from Yom Tov to Shabbos? You can't do that. But here we see clearly that Chananya says, Beis Shammai holds, that you could do if you did Hatmana beforehand. So you see that one could be matmin with an Erev Tavshilin, which the way Chananya defines that at least, by doing Hatmana before Yom Tov, but then you could do Hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So Elama Abai, rather Abai says a different interpretation. Similar, exactly, actually based on the Bryce he just quoted. Actually, Kugain She'erev Lazer, we're talking about that the person had made an Erev for this type of cooking. In other words, he baked for baking, he cooked for cooking, and they did those as Erevin from before Yom Tov, but he didn't make insulated food, warm food from before Yom Tov, to then do that on Yom Tov. And therefore, we could understand our Mishnah of Beis Shammai's opinion, because it's Chananya's interpretation of Beis Shammai, which is that you have to make an Erev specifically with that mode of cooking that you're doing. Bishul for Bishul, Hatmana for Hatmana, Afiyah for Afiyah. And that's why it's talking about you made an Erev Tavshilin. And that's why Beis Hillel holds you can go ahead, because whatever type you did, you could do that now on Yom Tov Shabbos. But it's Chananya, like Beis Shammai holds that even though you set aside a cooked dish, and you set aside a baked dish from before Yom Tov, that's not going to help. You have to have hatmana if you want to do hatmana. And that's why Mili was machm like B'Shamay, that not to be matmin like a tchila from Yom Tov to Shabbos, if the Erev was not specifically that of hatmana, even though there was some other type of Erev. Now the second item that Rav Gamliel was machmer like B'Shamay was ve'ein zeik v'nis ha-menorah. One cannot, if a menorah fell down, one cannot go ahead and straighten up and stand up that menorah, that candelabra. The Gemara asked, my kavod, what are you doing wrong? What's wrong with picking it up? So Amar Rav Chinah bar Bisna, he explains the case as follows. Says hacha b'menorah shel chulis haskin. We're actually talking about a menorah made out of pieces. Now therefore, when it fell, all the pieces came apart. Now, that's a problem, the mechzik kibayin. It looks like you're building. When you're putting the pieces back together, really, it's made out of pieces, and you're not building, but by putting them together, it looks like building. Now, although it's a kli, it's a utensil, well, where does building apply to utensils? Because the Beishame, Sabri, Yesh bin Mekalim, Beishame, and that's the opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, Gamliel's Machmalike, holds that there is a iser of binyan, which is one lama tes malach, is a building by utensils, by vessels. And that's even by kosher, no matter what small size you're contributing to the building, is considered an iser. And therefore, since here it looks like that, so we don't allow it, even if it's a menorah made out of pieces. Ubisil, Savi, Basil, however, argued, and they hold, ain binyan bekelim, ain stir bekelim, there is no halacha of building and demolishing by utensils. And therefore, if we'd be coming to something that's not a building, you would only be chayv if you'd be doing some form of a malacha. For example, you'd be smoothing, or you'd be cutting to a specific size, or you'd be weaving or sewing, where those are their own av malachas. But just putting the pieces of the menorah back together again, that would only be a problem, could only be a problem of binyan. And there is no problem of binyan only by building or by a building or by tents. And since this is a kli, so therefore the whole thing of binyan wouldn't apply. And therefore there's no problem about mechzik binyan when it just looks like building, because even if it would look like, there's no problem because it's not a binyan, it's not a building, it's just a kli. Now, related to this, once we introduced this idea of the second case of our Mishnah, and Lil was machin like B'Shamay regarding candelabras with candles, so the Gemara says, Ula ikla lebe Rabbi Huda. Ula went to the house of Rabbi Huda. Now, kam shamay, the attendant of Ula got up, and zakav le l'shraga, he stood up, and this is related to the idea of standing up the menorah that fell down of the pieces, so he stood up the candelabra, where he wanted that the oil should be removed from where the candle was, so that the candle should go out. By moving it, he was tilting it in a way that it's not going to be drawing from the oil anymore. Now, Esar, Rav Huda went and asked Ula, says, Hanaisin Shem B'Vener, we learned in the Braisa, if someone puts oil in a candle on Shabbos, so Chayv Mishamaver, he's liable for the Av Malacha of Maver, of igniting a fire, because by increasing the oil, it's increasing fire. If someone goes out and utilizes, he takes from the oil and he eats it, he's liable for extinguishing because you're removing oil. So adding fuel is havara, taking away the oil is mechaba. And therefore he was asking Ula, how do you let your shamish, your tenant, go ahead and do this? Extinguishing on Yom Tov is not permitted. And therefore, same thing over here, by tilting it, he's removing the oil from the wick, that's extinguishing, like we see, by taking away oil is mechaba. So even though it's Yom Tov, how do you let him do it? So Amalei, Ula responded, he said, Lava Daitoy. He said, I didn't notice. He says, what the attendant did, he did on his own. And you're right, it's something that's for sure forbidden. Now, continuing on this theme about the candle, the Gemara says, one halacha amarav, kanva, this is to take away the part, the burnt part of the top of the wick, which became more charcoal-y. Shari, that's permitted to be done on Yom Tov to remove that part to help it burn better. Now, related to what we're speaking about mechaba, that it's forbidden even on Yom Tov, one cannot extinguish a candle, and that's why he told him, look, how'd you let him tilt it? That's removing the oil from the wick. The Gemara says, "Bayimene abba b'amar to me abaya." He asked the following question from Abaya. Ma'u l'chabes es haner b'mnei dava achar. You understand that you're not allowed to just extinguish a candle on even Yom Tov. It's one of the lamates malachas. But what's the halacha if you want it for something else, which is for marital relations, where one is not supposed to have marital relations when there's a candle that's lit? So regarding that, that's something that you need to do on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to go ahead and extinguish the candle for that? So Amalei, so Abai responded, and says, what do you mean? Efshe b'bayi sachar, you could do it in another room. And therefore, there's no heter to do a malacha, that's not necessary. So he says, in lo b'bayi sachar mai, what do you do if you don't have another room, you don't have any other place to... So he says, efshe lo lasin mechitza. So he says, but you can make a partition, you can hang up a curtain. So he says, in lo lasin mechitza mai, but what do you do if there is no, he has no curtain to make a partition? So he says, what do you mean? Efshe lichvis love as a kli, you can go ahead and cover it with a utensil. That'll cover the candle, then it won't be in the light. So he says, in lo kli mai, but he says, but what do you do if you don't have a utensil? So Amalei says, okay, if that's the case, then Aser, it's forbidden to extinguish the light to be able to have marital relations. So the Gemara says, Aser, the Gemara has been following Braisa, says, Ei mechaben es habakas. A person cannot extinguish a fiery piece of wood. Kedei lochos aleh. If his whole intention is because he's concerned about it, he doesn't want it to get used up, to get ruined. And the reason why that's forbidden is because this extinguishing has no yomtiv purpose. You're not using it for yomtiv purpose. You just want it that you could use it at a later time. That's obviously forbidden because it's a malacha that doesn't have a yomtiv purpose. However, v'im b'shvil shleis ashen habayis. But if the reason why he wants to extinguish this fiery piece of wood is so that the house should not get smoked up, or the pot that it's in should not get all smoky, then it's mutter, then it's permitted. So the question they're asking on Abaye, obviously you see when there's a yomtiv purpose that will give the person some pleasure today, even if it's not directly Eichel Nefesh, but it's something here that you don't want to have a house smoky, it's permitted. So therefore the same thing should apply over here. You should be able to extinguish this candle for matter relations. Why is it any different that the house shouldn't be smoky? They're both pleasures that are going to be hot, going to be, the person's going to have on yomtiv. So Malay, so Abaye said to him, no, he Rabbi Yehuda, that Bryce that you're asking on me, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who the Gemara quotes later on that he holds that machshire oichel nefesh, not just oichel nefesh, but all things that are preparatory for pleasures are permitted because his drasha is yasa lochem, which means say that you could do oichel nefesh for you. He says lochem means lochol tzarchechem, for all your needs. And therefore, even things that are not even actually oichel nefesh, and not for food, but just preparatory things for food, he holds are permitted. And that means all types of things that people need. And therefore, that's the same thing that about not having a room that's smoky or a pot that's smoky. And you're right, according to him, the same thing would apply to marital relations, that he would hold it, you could put out the candle to be able to have marital relations. Kikamina no, Abaye says, when did I say that it's forbidden? Is Rabbana. It's going according to Pin Rabbana that they do not darshan that. And they actually darshan when it says in the pasuk hu levadai, that only this itself, meaning only oichel nefesh, things that are directly related to food consumption, that's permitted, but all other types of needs, like not having a room smoky, or about being able to have marital relations, are not included in the heter of doing malacha for having hana and yamtiv. Similarly, the Gemara brings a similar discussion. Bayimine Abaye Merabba. Abaye asked the following question from Rabbah. Ma'u l'chabes is at leke b'yomtev. What's halacha? You're allowed to put out a fire on yomtev. So he explains. He says, look, hechadikas hakanas nafash says, where there's danger to life, loike miboyle. That wasn't my question. Even on Shabbos, you're allowed to put out a fire. Kike miboyle, my question is, mishum ibn mamen, regarding loss of money. Ma'u, what's halacha? You're going to lose money because of the fire. No danger to life. What's halacha? Samalei, also, so Rabbah responded, that's forbidden. There's no eichel nefesh thing over here, and there's no danger to life. So even though it's a loss of money, you have to lose that money. So Eisvei, so he asked him from the brayso we just quoted before. It says, Ein mechaben es habakas, a person cannot extinguish this fiery piece of wood. Kedei lachas le, if it's just because he's concerned about it, he wants to be able to preserve it. But v'im b'shvil shleis ashen habayis o yekedei remuter, but if he doesn't want the house or the pot to get smoky, then it's permitted. Now, what he's comparing is there's no greater smoking of the house than when one has a fire. Now, that is considered a yomtiv need to extinguish that, because or else if the fire just consumes his whole household, he's going to have to be out in the heat or out in the rain. And therefore, if one can go ahead and do a malach of extinguishing for a tzarech yomtiv that's just that the house shouldn't be smoky, for sure when the fire is burning up his whole house, even though there's no danger to life or no yomtiv need, that for sure should be permitted. So I think my answer is similar as Abaye had answered before. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda, that price is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Kika mina no the Rabbanan. When was I saying like the Rabbanan? You read according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be permitted. He was lachem in lachol tzarchechem, all needs that you need. And of course, being without a house, with a home on yomtiv is definitely not so gishmak. And therefore, that would be a problem of not having lachem lachol tzarchechem. And I'm going like the Rabbanan that they hold only oichel nefesh malachas are permitted. If not, it's a regular av malacha that's prohibited on yomtiv, and therefore, even if one's whole home is going down, that wouldn't be permitted to put it out. Gemara brings a similar discussion. B'yimine Rav Ashi ma'amemer. Rav Ashi asked the following question from ma'amemer. Ma'o likchol es ha'ayin b'yomtiv. What's the halacha regarding putting chayil, which was some type of drops in one's eye, on yomtiv for someone that has eye problems? So he explains his question. He says, look, heichadik is akana, where there's a danger to the eye, could go in rira, for example, let's say someone has a discharge which gets crusty all around, or ditzo, where it has a piercing prick in his eye, or demo, where there's a gathering of blood around it, or demaso, or if it's constantly tearing, or v'kadachta, or if it's like a burning sensation, and v'tchilas ocha, and this is the beginning of this illness in his eye, That for sure I don't have a question. Because even on Shabbos, you're allowed to go ahead and put in those that salve that drops in one's eye, as the Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, because the different parts of the eyes are connected to one's heart. In other words, it's a danger to a person's life if the eyes can become infected. Kiki Nibayli says, what was my question? Was Soif Ochla. I'm talking about the end of the illness, where he's really about to, he's on the mend. He's already getting healthy. Ufatsuchi Eina. And now he just wants to put in these drops so that he could be able to see better. That was my question. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to do that on Yom Tov or not? So Malay also says, forbidden. These are not, there's not oichel nefesh, and this is something that's prohibited to do on Shabbos, and they would apply to Yom Tov. So Esvei, so he asked in that same brisa, he says, Eimachaben Esabakas, says you can't put out the fiery wood for it to preserve it, but as it continues saying, that one can do it for pleasures of the body, for example, if it shouldn't get a smoky room, now therefore, why is this any different? You're right, you can all do refuah on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but you should be able to do it because of it's some type of hana that you could see better. And therefore, why is it different than having that you could do it if the house is smoky? And he answered him the way we answered before, that you're right, that's going like Rabbi Huda, who says that you're allowed to do l'chol tzarchechem, but I was going like Rabbanan, and they hold that it could only be l'chol nefesh, since it's not l'chol nefesh, and there's no danger to life, one cannot put in these drops in one's eye on Yom Tov. Now, related to this, that we spoke about this chayil, so a different halacha says a meimer permitted that although we're not allowed to put in this kol on even Yom Tov, but he permitted that a non-Jew should put in these drops in the eyes on Shabbos. It could be that as though actually they have a version that a meimer gufik kol ena b'nachi b'shabbat, that he himself had a non-Jew put in this salve in his eyes on Shabbos. So, Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimer, Rav Ashi said to HaMeimer, my daitcha, what's your understanding? Why do you hold to this opinion that you allow this to be done even on Shabbos? Da'ama Ula B'ri D'ri Lo'i, that he said, Kol Tzarchi Chayla, Oysnal Dei Narchi B'Shabbos. All the needs of an ill person are permitted to be done on Shabbos by a non-Jew. And similarly, we have Amar Rav Nuna, that called Davish Ein B'Sakana, anything that's not a danger to life. Oymel Narchi B'Oysi, you could tell a non-Jew to do it, and you could do it for someone that's ill. So Amir al-Nakhri is not a problem. You could tell a non-Jew, go ahead and put it in the eye. The Jew didn't do anything. And since he's a chayla, we permitted that to be done through a non-Jew. Now, the problem is, that's only if you're not assisting the non-Jew. So all it is a malach of Amir al-Akhim, is a drabbanan of Amir al-Akhim. And in the makam chayli, when someone's ill, we didn't make that gzeir drabbanan, that's permitted. But that's only when you're not assisting him. You yourself are assisting in that act of him putting in this salve, which is an Isra of Refuah on Shabbos, because you're opening and closing your eyes, and your eyelashes are opening up, which then helps it come in. When you open and close it, it helps it come into the eye. You yourself are doing the Refuah, because although he's dropping it in, but you're assisting. And if that's the case, how is that permitted? Besides Amir La'akim, you yourself are doing the Refuah. So Malay said to him, he says, look, Ikra Rav Zvid Dekoy Kavasach. You're right, Rav Zvid actually holds like you because he asked me the same question. But Vishani Alei, but I answered him, Misayei, Embe Mamish, assisting is nothing. It doesn't have substance. In other words, someone that's not doing the malacha itself, he's just helping a little bit, like in the case of that what you're talking about, by me opening and closing my eyelids, that's helping it go in. But without me, it would have been done anyway. It would seep in. So then that's what's called Ein Be'mamish. There's no substance. As the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Tzad Gimel and Aleph, when if there's someone that could have done the malach himself, and someone that could not have done it himself. On that, the Gemara there says that the one who could have done it himself, he's chayiv, and the other one that couldn't have done it himself, he's pater, because although he's helping along, but misayei Ein Be'mamish, just helping along is nothing. And since here, without me opening and closing my eyes, it would have happened anyway. So the fact that I'm opening and closing is just misayei, and that's nothing. And therefore, since it's just Amir La'akim, B'makam Chayli, that's permitted to be done even on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues on this and says that Ameimer Shori Lemikhal Eina B'yam T'Vishenei Sharesh Hashanah. Ameimer permitted for the Jew himself, not with a non-Jew, to go ahead and put in this eye salve, this that helps for the eyes, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimer, but Ba'amar Rava said that Rosh Hashanah is different than other Yom Tovim, because although, as we find that by Yom Tovim, there's the Yom Tov Sheni is more lenient in the sense because really the main day is the first day, the second day is just a minhag that we keep because they used to not know exactly which is the right day of Yom Tov in the diaspora, so they kept 2 days. Maybe the prior chaydish was a mu'uber, maybe it was a chaser, so therefore we keep 2 days, but there's a certain leniencies. But that's not the case with Rosh Hashanah. As Rava says, meitz b'Yom Tov Rishayin, if a Jewish person died on the first day of Yom Tov, then Yisasku b'Yom Mamon. So then the non-Jews should be busy with his burial. B'Yom Tov Rishayin, if it happened on the second day of Yom Tov, Yisasku b'Yisrael, then the Jewish person should be involved in his burial. And v'afilu b'shnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, that would even apply in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that even the Jews could go ahead and do it in his burial on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, not the Gemara continues Amud Beis, but we said, Masha'inkim b'Beya. But that disparity between the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah does not apply to an egg, which when the egg is laid, Be'ah Shenolda, where then that's Asr on the day of Yom Tov itself. But that we say regarding when there's other Yom Tovim, so we say, look, the second day will be permitted Meman of Shach. If the first day was really the day of Yom Tov, so then now the second day is really a weekday. If the first day was the weekday and now is Yom Tov, so then it was weekday, so there's no problem about Noilet. Now, on that we say that does not apply to Rosh Hashanah. Because actually we say that Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas. We look at the 2 days as one day of Yom Tov, and we were not lenient regarding the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Only this difference that was that we will be Mekel is regarding a mess. Regarding someone that died, then we will allow the Jews to be involved in this burial. And therefore the question is, how can you go over here and be Mekel in doing this refuah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Because although we're lenient regarding other Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah is not the same. Rosh Hashanah actually we treat as one long day, not like Beis Kedushas that it's, because we're not sure which one is the real day of Yom Tov, and therefore we're leaning on the second day. So Malay said to him, you're right, but I know Kanardos, really, I hold it like the Nardians, the army of Be'ah, that they say, not like the way you just quoted, they hold that actually the same halacha would apply even by Be'ah, as the Gemara went in length and described this on the Vav and Aleph, where they hold that the Be'ah Shenolda on the first day of Rosh Hashanah would be permitted on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And the reason is, as they explain over there at length, which the Gemara brings here in the bridge version, is because umay daitcha. What would the reason be that you would want to be stringent on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Because dilma ma'abri leila el, because maybe they're going to extend el, and that is maybe there will become edim that will come towards the evening time on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which will then make that Rosh Hashanah. But then they also said we're going to make the second day of Rosh Hashanah because then it'll be a problem with the shir shal yom and the levim. And therefore, then you're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which will have like one long Kedusha. And therefore, if the egg is born on the first day, it's going to be also on the second day too, because really it's like one long day of Rosh Hashanah. And that's why you're asking me regarding the eye salve, the kucha, how could I put on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? But ha'amr of Chinna bar Kahana, but we already explained at length, and the Rav Chinna bar Kahana had said that Mimais Ezra Ve'elach, from the days of Ezra and onward, loy metzina el mubu, we never found that this should ever happen. And since it never happened, it never got enacted to be enforced, and therefore actually Rosh Hashanah is the same as the other Yom Tovim. We treat it as Beis Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah of Golias, which is that the second day is more lenient than the first day, and therefore Be'ah Shenolda on the first day would be permitted, and therefore, just like other Yom Tovim, we could put in the kuchla in the eyes, the same thing would apply to the second day of Rosh Hashanah too. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah, which is the third case, that Rebbe Gamliel was machma like Beshame regarding the halachas of Yom Tov, which was Ve'ein Eifen Piten Gritzen El Rekikin. We're not allowed to bake these thick loaves of bread on Yom Tov, rather these thin wafer type of breads. Now, Tarban, the Gemara quotes a brisa that will elucidate this case of the third case where Ramul's machm like Beshame. What exactly does this mean? So the brisa says that Beshame and Beshame say, "Ein oifen pas ove bePesach." We're not allowed to bake thick bread on Pesach. Now, the Gemara assumes right now that the reason would be because one would not be able to protect it from becoming chametzik, from leavening, because it's so thick, it could rise very easily, and that's why Beshame would hold that you cannot make thick matzah on Pesach. Or with some time, oh, it's permitted, you can make even thick, quote, bread, but really thick matzah on Pesach. So the Gemara asks, become a Pasava, how thick does Beis Hillel permit one to do it? If it's very, very thick, if it's sure it's going to be chametz, so how thick is it that they're arguing about that Beis Hillel says it's permitted? So I'm going to put a tefach, as we find by the lechem apanim, which were the showbreads that were put there every week on the shulchan, which was made out of matzah, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachos of Nun Zayinim and Aleph, that all menachos were matzah, besides some exceptions, and the thickness was a tefach, as its name was, because what was it called? It's called lechem hapanim, the bread of the face, which means they had a face. And as the Gemara explains elsewhere, a face is not smaller than a tefach, so it must have been a tefach. And therefore we see that something of matzah could be up to a thickness of a tefach. Now, maskil Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on this interpretation of Rav Huna that the thickness of matzah that Basil is permitting is up to the thickness of a tefach. And the proof is from the lechem aponim, which was matzah, and it was up to the thickness of a tefach. So he asked him many questions of showing that how can you make a comparison between the lechem aponim, which you're right, it had to be matzah, and it was up to a tefach, to say that the matzah that we're going to make will be allowed to be up to a tefach, and that we're not concerned about coming chametz. Because he says, im amr bezrizin, if we said that the lechem aponim can be up to a tefach and not become chametz, by its people that are diligent, which was the Beis Garmu, who they were in charge, and they were professionals. They knew how to make this. They had a Messiah about how to make this matzah of the lechem aponim. Yoyim b'shein is reason. Are we going to say the same for regular people that are not so diligent and with alacrity as the Beis Garmu, that we can make our matzah on Pesach up to the tefach? Another difference. Im amr b'pasa meila, if they said regarding the bread, in other words, the matzah that was well worked, which the matzah of the lechem aponim needed 300 rubbings with the hand and 500 poundings with the fist. Yemri b'pasha in amela, they're going to say the same thing regarding not such work matzah. No one does the same for their matzah, and therefore we can allow it up to a tefach. Another difference is, im amr b'etzim yevashim, if they said that it's going to be matzah up to a tefach thick by dried out wood, which they had very dry wood, because already from Tu B'Av, they would stop chopping the wood for the maracha, for the firewood that they would use, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainus and Daflam and Aleph. Now, it was those woods that they would use to bake and to cook all the things that they needed in the Beis HaMikdash, which included the lechem aponim. Now, that was very dried out wood, which was from the summer months. Now, Yemer Be'etzim Lachem, you think they'll say the same thing with moist wood that we're using for our wood that's by Pesach time? Another difference, if they said regarding a hot, fiery furnace and oven, where they would heat it up every single day, and because it would make menachas inside of it, and they would roast different sacrificial meats over there, would they say the same thing regarding a cold oven? We don't bake and cook that much in our ovens as they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And another difference, if they said this regarding a metal oven, which the Gemara Masechta Zvachim Dav Tzadikim and Beis explains, that the oven of the Beis HaMikdash had to be made out of metal, because the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem Aponim, which they're baking, is actually their sanctifications, which is in the oven, that makes it into a Kli Sharis, and a Kli Sharis cannot be made out of earthenware, it has to be made out of metal. So therefore, that's something that gets very hot. Yemer B'tanu Shel Cheres, will they say the same thing regarding our ovens, which are made out of earthenware, which are not so hot, to say that it's not going to become chametz if we make such thick matzah? And therefore, it doesn't make sense to prove from the Lechem Aponim that we can make matzah up to the thickness of a tefach and not be concerned about it coming chametz. Rather, Amar Yirmi Abba, he says, it's a whole different explanation, this brisa, regarding what they're arguing about. It says, She'elis as Rebbe b'yichud. I asked my Rebbe, my teacher, in private, between me and him, Umana, and who is that? Who is my teacher? That's Rav. That my pas Abba, what is this thick bread that Beisham and Mishil were arguing about, if you're allowed to make that on Pesach or not? That doesn't mean thick bread and that we're talking about a concern about becoming chametz or not. It actually means pas meruba, means many breads. Ikedar, I mean, those have a different version, that it was actually Rav himself that asked his Rebbe privately, that Amar b'Yirmi b'Abba Amar Rav, that She'ilas Rius Rebbe b'Yichad, that Rav said that he asked his Rebbe in private, Uman, and who is his Rebbe? That was Rebbein HaKadosh, that was Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, that he asked in my pas Abba, what does it mean thick bread that they're arguing about? That's pas meruba, means a lot of breads, which that's not because of a concern as chametz. Rather, that's because one's doing an exertion that's not necessary for today and for tomorrow and for the day after. And that's why Bishami held that that's going to be usher. And Mishil said that, no, they're not concerned that it's going to be mutter. Now, v'amai kar le'pasavah, so why is it called thick bread? Why is that the term they use when they're really arguing about making many breads? So the Gemara says, mishum d'nefisha belisha, because since it requires a lot of kneading, it's almost like what a thick bread is like, because you're making so many breads, that's why it's called thick bread. Or Inami, another reason the Gemara says, is because Ba'asir Dehai Tana, it could be that in the location of that Tana, who is conceptualizing this machlekes, Pas Meruba, a multiplicity of breads, Pas Avakarli, they would call it thick bread, but really it was a reference to many breads. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of the machlekes, Mechti, let's see. Mishim de Katarach Tircha Delei Tzarchu. That means their whole machlekes was regarding if this is an exertion that's not necessary, which would therefore not be permitted to be done in Yom Tov. So my area, Pesach, why do they pick just Pesach to argue about? If it was like we were assuming before, that's about chametz, so it makes sense. Thick bread, how thick become a chametz, but now nothing to do with thickness. Even if they're thin, but you're making many of them, so it's about tircha, so why pick Pesach? Afil b'shar yom tevim nami, even other yom tevim should be the same achleikis. Are you allowed to do a tircha that's not necessary on yom tev? Which the Gemara answers, Anachanami, that you're right, that the same thing would apply to all yom tevim, v'tana b'yom tev the Pesach koi. It just happens to be that that Tana was talking about halachas of Pesach, and he put that in that category of Pesach, but really it would include all yom tevim in this machlokes regarding you're allowed to do such a tircha or not. Tanya Mahoch is similar in the Braisa that the same machlokes applies to other yom tevim. Bishami oimim ain't even passing meruba b'yom tev. Bishami say that one cannot bake many breads on yom tev, as we said, because it's an unnecessary tircha that you cannot do on yom tev. Ubisil matirin, however, Bisil say it's permitted, and the reason why is as the Gemara had mentioned on David Zainim and Aleph that bread bakes better when the oven is full with other breads, because then there's less room for it to disperse, and therefore the heat is going into the breads, so it's going to make the breads that are there bake better, and that's why Basil held that's not considered a tircha, that's not necessary, and hence one could bake a pas meruba, which that time that bride is calling pas ava, on Yom Tov again, which is related to the halacha that we mentioned in our Mishnah, of Ein Oifen Pitin Gritzin, that you can't bake these thick breads, only these thin wafer-likes. That was the discussion regarding what's this machlekes of Bisham Basil, is it not baking thick breads on Pesach, or is it actually baking pas meruba, many breads on any Yom Tov, which Bishami hold is an unnecessary tircha, and Bishami hold that no, it helps the breads that you do want for Yom Tov to bake better, and therefore that's permitted to be done on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which is the opposite of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah spoke about three things that Imlil is stringent, like Bishami, regarding his machliks Bishil on the halachs of Yom Tov. Now this Mishnah says that Afu Amar Shleisha Dvarim Lahakal. Imlil also said three things to be lenient, which is not like the three things that it was machmer in the previous Mishnah, which they are mechabdin beis hamitas. A person could go ahead and sweep the place of the, literally means the couches, but it's the place where they would eat their meals. In the dining room, one could sweep the floors there, where that was by the where the mitas were, because they used to recline on couches when they would eat. Second leniency is manich nesa mugmer, that one could put the frankincense, the spices, aromatic spices, on top of the coals on Yom Tov, so it could give a good aroma, a good fragrance into the room, b'yom tov on Yom Tov. And the third leniency was, well, isin gedim akulis, a person could make a roasted goat, which has its intestines hanging outside on it when you're roasting it, b'leil b'sachem, on the night of Pesach, where they used to do that as a zeichel mikdash, to commemorate what was then the Beis HaMikdash, where it says that it had al-karav, al-kirboy, it had its intestines hanging on the side. Now that's where the term Makulis comes from, which is like a soldier that's armed. He has his weapons on the side. So he says that you can do that. You can roast it exactly how it was done in the Beis HaMikdash as a Zeichel HaMikdash. However, the Chacham said that these three leniencies of Gamliel are forbidden. Now the reason is by the first case of sweeping the floor, they were concerned about what's called Ashuya Gumis. You might come to fill in the holes because their floors were made out of earth. And therefore, if you're going to fill it in, that would be a violation of Baina, of completing the floor. Now, regarding Mugmer, about putting on the spices on the coals on Yom Tov, they held that's not considered Tzarech Kol Nefesh. It's not something that's necessary for everybody. Where the Gemara learns in Masech Tzubas and the Zainam and Aleph, it says, Ashi Ochel Kol Nefesh. What's permitted to be done on Yom Tov Malacha? That's something that's for every person. Something that's called Hashavah L'chol Nefesh. It's something that everybody does. Now this is only for people that are Mufunakim. They're more delicate. They appreciate finer things. Or for somebody that has a bad smell. But regular people don't generally have that. And therefore that's not considered a Hetrav Echol Nefesh. Because it's not Shavah L'chol Nefesh to be done on Yom Tov. And the third case that they argue in him regarding this Gidi Makulas, because it looks like kachim, it looks like you're bringing actually a Karban Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and people are going to say, hey, you're allowed to eat kachim and sacrifice kachim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they said that that's forbidden too, and therefore these are the three leniencies of Gamliel, which Chacham say is forbidden. Now, regarding the case of Mugmer, that we said was this Machlekes, the Gemara brings the following discussion. Amar Ravasi, he says, Machlekes legamer. The Machlekes in our Mishnah, in other words, where the Chacham say that it's forbidden, that one cannot go ahead and put the spices on the coals on Yom Tov, that was only when you're putting on the spices on the coals to what's called be legamre esakelim, which what they used to do was that they would put a pan with frankincense and coals, and they would put it beneath one's garments. Now, why they would do that was because then it would put in a good smell in one's clothing, where That's something that would, instead of putting on, it would like perfume the clothing. Now, that is what the Chacham say, that no, that's not what's called hanafas haguf. It's not a pleasure that the body's going to have. It's just fixing his garments. That's something that has no heter to be done on Yom Tiv. That's where their machlikas was. The Chacham said that's aser. And Gamliel says, no, you're allowed to do that. Avala Riach, however, Ravasi is saying that, but for fragrance, in other words, where they would put the frankincense on the coals just to have the smell wafting through the ear in where a person's home was, everyone, even the Chum would say that it's mutter, because that's a pleasure of the body, which is, there's consumption with food going inside, or it's coming through the nostrils. That's considered like oichel nefesh, and there everyone would agree that that's permitted. Their whole machlik is regarding doing mugmar and yamtiv, was regarding for the clothing, and that they held was aser, and Mila said it's mutter. Now the Gemara asked Meisivei from the following Braisa, which this Braisa elaborates on the three, on the machlikis mentioned in our Mishnah. The Braisa says that Ei mechabdim beis hamikdash b'yamtiv, which is the opinion of the Chacham. They say that one cannot sweep the dining room on yamtiv, as we said, because there's that concern of Ashvuy Gumas, a building which is one lamates malachas. However, b'shal beis Rav Gamliel mechabdim, in the household of Rav Gamliel, they would sweep the floor, as we said in our Mishnah. However, Amr of Lazar Tzadik, he said that pam harbe nechnasti acher abel beis Rav Gamliel, there were many times I went after with my father to the house of Rav Gamliel. It's not true. They wouldn't sweep the floors in the dining man yamtiv. Ella, you know what they did? Why people assumed that they did was because el mechabdin oisim erev yamtiv. Actually, they would sweep the floor before yamtiv. Then the person alein sadin, and then they would put these type of curtains, these type of blankets on the floor. Lamacher kisha orchem nechnasin. The following day, when the guests would come, because people would come to the suda of the nasi in the honor of yamtiv, then mesalken es asadin, and then they would remove these garments that are on the floor, these blankets, v'nimtza abayis miskavd me'elav, and then it would come out as if it was swept, because it removed whatever was on the floor before, and so it looked like it was clean. But really, they didn't sweep. So Amar Lo, the Chacham said to his version of what they would do in the house of Rav Gamliel, they said, imkain, if that's what they did, so the apes Shabbos mutalasik, and then that would be permitted even on Shabbos, and obviously the Chacham would not argue in that, so that's obviously not what they did. They actually swept. Similar discussion regarding the other halacha in our Mishnah. Said the Chacham say that you're not allowed to put on the frankincense, the coals, the aromatic spices onto the coals on Yom Tov, but they would. Now Amr Blazer Tzadik again, he says that no, it's not true. Pam harbe nechnasti achar abel b'zim gluel. Many times I went after my father to the house of Rav Gamliel. The loy ha'yom nechnas emug b'yom tov. They would not place these coals, these spices on the coals on Yom Tov. Ella, you know what they would do? Similar to what he said regarding the first thing. They would bring these flasks, these containers made out of iron that had holes in them. Now, they would smoke it. They would do essentially what we do when we do megamer, when we have the spices that are burning up on the coals that give the smell. They would do that on Erev Yom Tov and smoke it into this utensil called this ardas kois. And then they would close up the holes, which was to preserve the smoke and the smell that it shouldn't leave from that. Me'erv Yom Tov, they would do that from before Yom Tov. Now, the following day when the guests would come, then they would open up the holes. So it comes out that the house was smoked up by itself, but really they didn't do that. They didn't do it on Yom Tov. They just did a way of having it from before Yom Tov and then preserving it and having it happen on Yom Tov. So the Chum said again to his version, they said, Imkain. If so, then the others, the Chum, would not have argued on Yom Tov. Because after Shabbos Mutalasikain, even on Shabbos, it's permitted to do that because that's something that you're not doing anything. You're just opening up the plugs. So therefore, it must be that it was on Yom Tov that Yom Tov's household would do it. And that's why the Chum argued on him. Now, so this is, however, the Gemara concludes the question. But one thing we see over here is that obviously, this Megamer that was their Machlekes was only regarding not the clothing, as Ravasi had said, but rather for the aroma, for the fragrance, because it says that they had opened it for the honor of the guests, which that's what the Rabbanan argue and say that, no, it's forbidden to do that on Yom Tov, according to the Tanakhama. And the contrary, Blazer Tzadik, actually, even Leel did not permit that to be done. Now, on that, and you say that everyone agrees that that would be mutter. In other words, he qualified the Machlekes regarding Megamer, if you're allowed to do Goyman on Yom Tov, was only regarding one's clothing, which they used to do that to smell it up. But regarding people enjoying that smell, for sure you could do that. That's considered echal nefesh. But we see here in the Braisa that their discussion was whether Mlil did it or not was debated. But if one could do it or not on Yom Tov was regarding the guests having that smell. That is where we say the Chum say it's asr, Mlil says it's mutter. But you said there, everyone agrees that it's mutter. So the Gemara amends and says, if there was such a statement in Ravasi, this is the way it should be said. Ravasi said, Machlekes lahariach. Actually, the whole machlekes was between Lil and the Chacham is if one is putting on the spices on the coals for the fragrance, and that is only there is where Lil said it's permitted to put that on Yom Tov for the smell, like the Tanakama, Berlas Berat Tzadik, and that is the Rabbanan sage forbidden because they hold that no, even if it's for the fragrance, you need it to be Shavu L'chol Nefesh. It has to be something that everybody appreciates. And not everybody appreciates the fragrance, which therefore it's not a classic L'chol Nefesh necessity. But to go ahead and do it for one's clothing, there everyone agrees that it's usr. Actually, even Lil would agree that it's going to be forbidden because that's not considered echal nefesh. It's just for one's clothing. It's not for one's hanos haguf. Now, similarly, the Gemara says, Ibar Luhu. We have the following question. Mahula ashen. What's with to smoke? That is what they would do is they would have these different produce that they would smoke them with besamim, with the different incense. Now, because and they would have the smoke going up into the produce, and then would have this good smell. Can one do that on Yom Tov or not? Now, we know one could do Echal Nefesh or not. Is this included? So that thing Gemara says Machlokes. Rav Yimer Ba'aba Amarav Aser. He says it's Aser. Because he says it's just for people that are delicate, which is really where the word delicacy is from, where it's not Shav L'chol Nefesh, it's not for everybody. It's just for people that are more istinous. Now, because they like when it has a certain smell and a certain aroma, but it's people would generally just eat the produce as it is. Now, since it's not Shav L'chol Nefesh, this smoking is actually an Av Malacha, as the Gemara will shortly explain from Rav Huna, the reason of Rav, who says it's Aser, because by putting these spices onto the coals, you actually extinguish part of the coals when it's put on, which that's Machaba, that's Av Malacha. Only is permitted if it's for Eichel Nefesh, it has to be Shav L'chol Nefesh. Since it's not everybody does this, it's going to be Aser. Ushmul Amamut Shmuel says, no, it's permitted because actually he holds that it is Eichel Nefesh. Because even the poorest of the poor would do this if they had it. They just don't have it, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Ketubos. And therefore, it is considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh, it's just that they can't afford it. And therefore, it's permitted to do that. Now, the Gemara explains, as we just alluded to this before, the Rav Huna Amar Aser, he says that the reason why it's Aser is Amnesha Mechaba. Because as we explained, that you're extinguishing, and it's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh, therefore you can't do an Av Malacha for the person to smoke up his produce, because although it's making it better, but it's not everybody would do that, and therefore it's not considered Shav L'chol Nefesh, and therefore there's no heter of doing a malacha on Yom Tov for somebody that's not Shav L'chol Nefesh. Now the Gemara asked, only Rav Nachman asked on him, on Rav Huna, why are you saying the problem why you can't do this for the produce is because of extinguishing? But the name of Mamanei Shemavi, you should say the reason why you can't do it is because you're also igniting, because you're igniting the besamim when you put it onto the coals, which is also Av Malacha. So Malay, Rav Huna said, you're right, but Tchilas Mechaba, the first thing that happens when you put it down, it first extinguishes part of the coals, V'seifa Mavra, and then it burns it up, and there's both of them, but I was just saying the first thing that happens, which is the first problem you run into, which is Mechaba. But nothing more qualifies this halacha. I'm Rabbi Huda. Agabi gacheles aser. You're right, on top of coals, it's forbidden to put these spices to smoke up the produce, because as we said, there's Mechaba and there's Mava, you're going to be extinguishing some of the coals, and then it's going to be igniting the besamim, which are Av Malach is forbidden to be done if it's not Shav L'chol Nefesh. However, continue on top of Chovik Emelon Alf, he says, Al Gabi Cheres, but to do this on a heated piece of earthenware, then it's Mutter, because there's no more Kibbutz, you're not extinguishing anything, you're not putting on coals, you're putting on hot earthenware, you're not extinguishing anything. And although that the spices will get ignited, which is a Av Malach Bavara, but since it's being done through a Shinui, which is being done in an indirect way, because that's not normally how one would do it, therefore there's no Issa Deraisa, and therefore for this, even though it's a higher level, it's not something that's Shabbat Nefesh, that would be permitted to be done on Yom Tov. Have Rabba Amar, he argues. He says, no, Gabi Cheres Nami Aser, even on earthenware it's going to be Aser. But not because of the problems of Mechaba and Maver. There's no Mechaba here. And you're right, regarding Havara, it's done with a Shinui, therefore it would be permitted. But for a different reason, Mishum de Kamoilad Recha, because you're introducing, you're creating a new aroma, a new smell, which in that earthenware, which didn't have a smell before, it's being introduced right now because of the spices that are burning on it. Now that's a rabbinic Isser of what's called Nailud, which you're creating a new thing, which is close to like doing a new Malacha, which is forbidden. You can't, let's say, be makar patish, you can't finish off something, you can't create a new entity. This of Meilid, creating Meilid Reches, making a new aroma in something, is similar to that, and therefore rabbinically they said that's forbidden, and therefore it'd be a problem even on top of Cheres. A similar halacha to this, Rabbi Yisrael and Amr Tavai, they both say that Schufi Kasa Ashiroi, to turn over a cup that has this aroma from the besamim on top of this silk of cloth, to then put that smell into the clothing, that be Yom Tava Asa. That's forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. My timer, as we said before, Mishum de Kamoil Drecha, because you're introducing a new smell into those silks, into those clothing, which are forbidden to be done rabbinically on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara asked on that halacha. Now, Umaish Nami Mailoi Mariach Bai, why is this any different than what we learned in the Braisa? That one could roll the wood of Besamim between his fingers so that he can get the smell from it. Or, as we said, Bekoitme, you could even cut off the place of where it's moist so that it should get a smell, where obviously we're talking about that's not attached, because then there would be an Avmalacha that's forbidden. Umarich Bayan, smell it. Why is that any different? Here you're also introducing a smell that wasn't there before. So that the Gemara says there's a difference. Hasam Recha Mia Isa. There it had a smell. But Isufi who the Kamaisa Rechi, just increasing the smell. He wants it to smell better, so he's rolling it, but it had a smell. It's not that it didn't have it, it's just bringing it out and magnifying it. Here it's different. The rabbinic Isra of Meilid Recha is we're talking about a garment that never had a smell before, that now you're turning over the cup, it's introducing the smell that wasn't here before. That's similar to what a malacha would be. Therefore, rabbinically, that's prohibited. And therefore, that was what Rabbi said the same thing regarding the Cheres, that although there's no problem about Havara and about Mechaba, but one cannot go ahead and do that, burning up the Besamim on that hot Cheres on Yom Tov, because there's a different problem about Meilid Recha, which in the Cheres, which didn't have any smell before, you're going to be introducing a new smell, which is the Isra Abanan of Meilid Recha.